Okay, welcome to A Course in Miracles, everybody. Tonight, I want to take on a rather large topic that, the book can handle it. You've been wondering your whole spiritual career. What are you is our topic tonight. What are you really? Can we get a glimpse or an idea from A Course in Miracles and what you actually are? What are you actually are? See, because if you are able to get a handle on what you actually are, then all your perceptions, if you were willing to be honest, would have to shift to your true identity. And you would evaluate whatever you're perceiving from your true identity instead of from this smaller ego identity. That would be a wonderful spiritual accomplishment.
It's quite in the, I know there is, somewhere in the book it says, how can you be the only thing alive that doesn't know what it is? So I suppose strip away all the stuff you're not, and what's left once you've stripped the dross off is the gold.
Yeah,
educate again.
Yeah, one of the difficulties is that the brain that is seeking what it is the linear mind, the ego mind, and it's looking for a very solid, analyzable, understandable answer to the brain based on the laws and rules of physics and of personalities and persons.
Right.
That's what it's looking for to be satisfied of what it is. But the true answer, your spiritual identity with a capital I, cannot be understood by the analytical rational mind. When you're willing to step back to allow a little nonlinear thinking to go on, which involves a journey beyond words, we can use words to get up to the edge, but then you take this little leap of journey beyond words. It's like feeling, but don't let the idea of feeling be the answer. Because it isn't a feeling. It's a knowing. It's a knowing of something you've already and always known. We recently did a section called The Forgotten Song, where Jesus tries to touch on what it's like to hear a distant melody that you knew so well, you've long since forgotten, but part of you couldn't possibly completely forget it because you love it so much. And just a hint of the melody fills your heart instantly. These are not thoughts we're talking about. This is a very subtle personal knowing that you experience when your true identity dawns on you. And that's why we use term like holy instant, a holy instant. That's why A Course in Miracles describes the miracle itself, that shift into invisibility, into nonlinear, irrational thinking. But I'm not going to take you all that far. You know, if somebody trips on it and you want to go there, we will. But our job tonight is to pry you away from any residual that what you see in the mirror is all you are. This is good enough. If you can get a sense of 100% confidence tonight with what we look at, that you are not what 100% what you see in the mirror, that's good enough. That will help us shift your point of view away from the you that can lose, the you that can be harmed in the world. This is a nice fundamental thought that you that we all should have on a somewhat regular basis while we slog through this world of time and space, even if you've had it before. Maybe after COVID-19, it's time to have it again. Maybe after all the struggles you've had with whatever's going on in your life, it's time for you to step back and have this thought again. So that's what we're going to do tonight. So let's kind of get in the mood for that. Just going to have a little 5-minute sit together. And I'll say a few words, but it won't be much, really. All I want you to do is simply access the part of your mind that is beyond words, that might have this knowing of what you actually are, that's not your body. I'll throw a few words in, whatever comes, we'll see. Take a deep breath. Call your body to attention and call your mind to ease. We're going to take a journey in the next 5 or 7 minutes. A journey into simplicity. A journey into trust. A journey into the eternal nature of yourself. The eternal nature of yourself. Can you sense that there is, even now, in your dream of time and space, an eternal nature with you that is you even now? Remember the central teaching of A Course in Miracles. I am not a body. In fact, I am free. I am still as God created me. Eternal. Now, let your mind drift inward a bit more, releasing connections to familiar body and time and space. This is a great time to do that. Just step back one step with your mind and feel the disconnection to body, time, and space. Feel it let go a little bit as you start to rest in your true eternal nature. And now, allow yourself to sink deeper in and away from all that's familiar. It's a great time to do that right now. Just let go. And know your eternal nature. And now, with all this freedom in your eternal nature, you're so free. With this unlimited eternal nature, seek now in your mind for that little itty bitty little body that you used to inhabit. You have to look for it. All of this freedom, you have to seek and look for this little box you used to fit in that has a name and a social security number, so many hairs on your head. That one. Seek for that little thing. Because we're going to have you come back into it. Bringing this light of your eternal nature with you. Because you've woken up now to your eternal nature. It might be kind of fun to go back with your light and shine away the darkness that was never even possible, but you thought it was. You used to think you were not eternal and not free. Let's go prove it. Since you actually are eternal, there is no possible loss by going back into your little body and shining your light there. Let's go. Might be fun. Carrying this light with you now, this eternal nature, it has awoken in you. Come back into your body on the chair where you sit with a little smile on your face, because you now know you have an eternal, playful, free nature. You would love to share your light in this little world. It might be fun. There's certainly plenty of time since you are eternal. Come back into your body. Make sure you're in your body. Why don't you command it to take a breath? After all, an eternal being might have to remember now how to breathe. You know, Course in Miracles teaches that whatever you think, whatever you perceive, you do it from the perspective of one of two voices. You know, one is material, the other is spiritual. That's it. That's the whole manual. One is limited, and the other is unlimited, eternal. That's it. That's the whole menu. So if you were to be enlightened or awakened, you would take on this eternal nature, and you would no longer be in a big rush or too worried about anything or anybody. Because along with that eternal nature comes a perspective of freedom for all living things. But lest we go too far. Let's just stick with the idea. I hope you all touched a possibility of freedom, some real freedom, not being associated with your body for a moment. Pretty brief meditation for that, I know. But maybe you've done this before and I'm just reminding you. So before we jump in, if anybody would like to comment on your eternal nature, okay, very well. Go to page 450 in the text. Page 450. It's only eight of us here, so I'm gonna unmute everybody at once. And okay, can I do that? Yeah. I can unmute you guys all. We could have a discussion here. Okay. So page 450, paragraph 11. And just like last week, I just picked one of the possible levels of teaching that are in these paragraphs. Tim, would you read for us paragraph 11 when you get there?
It is as needful that you recognize you made the world you see as that you recognize you did not create yourself.
Wait, stop. Wow, that's a mouthful.
Want it again?
I'm going to have you read it again, but before you do, I would like you to turn back a page and read the italics on 448.
Uh-oh. Okay. Oh, yeah, we've been here. I am responsible for what I see. Responsible. I choose the feelings I experience. I decide upon the goal I would achieve, and everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. Can't stand that phrase. I don't want the responsibility. No.
Yep.
Get away.
I'd rather blame somebody else. Yeah, right? Fighting words. Right. Fighting words.
Back to 11.
Not yet. Why don't you just finish that paragraph while we're there, because the next few sentences are just as important.
Yes, sir. Deceive yourself no longer that you are helpless in the face of what is done to you. Acknowledge but that you have been mistaken, and all the effects of your mistakes will disappear.
That is very personal. Nobody could possibly do that for you. To acknowledge that you have been mistaken, and that's why you found some darkness or unhappiness, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. It allows for healing.
Instantly. Because you don't have to change the world. What are we talking about? Turn back a few more pages to the beginning of this chapter to see how important this is. And in fact, we're going to pick up this introduction. We're going to come back to you, Tim. Jacqueline, would you read for us 445, paragraph 1, introduction?
Reason and perception, introduction. Projection makes perception. The world you see is what you gave it, nothing more than that. But though it is no more than that, it is not less. Therefore, to you, it is important. It is the witness to your state of mind, the outside picture of an inward condition. As a man thinketh, so does he perceive. Therefore,
no, hold on there. We've read this before, okay. So I want to take a moment before we go on to tonight's work to highlight what Jacqueline just read. This world is witness to your state of mind. If you're thinking separate and you're thinking you're a body and you're thinking that you're limited and small, then the loss means the end of you and loss to you. It's very painful. It's threatening immediately and long term. can give you a sense of fright that could have you do all sorts of weird thinking. On the other hand, if you were to somehow gain an eternal nature, if you're somehow to awaken to your true spiritual identity, if you could borrow from that perspective as you look on your world, it then becomes a witness to your healed state of mind. The perfect witness, in fact. The holiest spot on earth is where an ancient hatred becomes a present love. This is a healing that's required now because of how close you've become to the earth and to your body and to your children and to your parents and to nature and to all the wonderful and horrible things that you've come up with while you were working on this adventure. You can't ignore it. You must heal the perspective of it. Because, yeah. Go ahead, Tim.
How do you know to pick something better than what we're suffering through if you don't even know that there is a better option?
Right.
I mean, it's that blindness that keeps you from grabbing for the gold ring that's preferable.
Very good statement, Tim. That's why it's required somehow, some way, to be able to disconnect from your full identity with the body and everything you now trust. I love this book. I haven't found anything closer to it. But still, even with this book, you could miss it. You could honestly be trying with love in your heart to take on a pure, holy instant and miss it easily. Because you are a creator. You're not some machine that you just go change the spark plugs and it runs better. That's not how you heal. You have to heal with your own adoption of your identity, a personal return. Course in Miracles is an invitation, a pointer. But ultimately, you have to make the return within your beautiful, unique mind.
Nobody else can be your enlightenment for you.
Fact. I'm still curious how it happens, you know, since it's so personal. It's so personal. But this is the best I've seen. You know, it's been said that enlightenment is when you actually have your awakenings. It's rather like having an accident. You don't even realize exactly how that happened, but you have the sense of freedom. And things like A Course in Miracles make you accident prone. Things like doing the lessons make you accident prone so you can have this little ratchet in your freedom. That little meditation we did, I might have snuck in there and got you to let go just for an instant. That's all it takes is an instant. And you could then adopt your true identity and say, whoa, that's more real than my fake identity. You see, a miracle is a sudden shift.
Wait a minute for a second.
Yeah.
I think I have experienced my true self. Not tonight, but I think I have. So it's not so much that I don't think I know. I mean, I think I experienced it, but my problem is I'm taking the Course in Miracles because I don't know how to convince myself I can stay there. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank goodness that's addressed also in the Course in Miracles. That the requirement for your awakening is not that you can suddenly have full enlightenment. It's simply that you know it's true. You're not required to projection every instant while you finish out your script. What you are required to do is to know that your eternal nature is true, even for an instant. You see, since there is actually no time, you're going through a door. Your spiritual awakening goes through a door. I just use that as an analogy. Or presses the key button, if you will. This happens in an instant, and that instant is more real than any minute, hour, or year of your entire physical life. It's what's happened to me. These holy instants have been more real than my entire existence. And they don't go away because of that level of exposure to light. You know? And so this is what you need to achieve. And Luann, you can simply know that your true nature is your true nature. And Luann Ellison is not your true nature. This is all that's required of you. And now you get to choose whether you want to live that way. And that's a challenge. But you should know that your true nature, being true, cannot go away. Even if you don't behave that way. Even if you still get frightened at times. Because if you're willing to surrender, keyword, to your true nature, you just won't be willing to listen to your ego as much. It'll be shorter duration, shorter. You get higher sense of freedom, and you stop panicking. Why? Because you visited your true nature for more than a half an instant. And it's just, you know, the severity falls away because the reality of this world has fallen away. It does take time. You're an addict, and you have a habit of living in a body with something to lose. It's a habit. Have the miracle. And that this book, I don't know of any other way to do it than just do these workbook lessons and discover at the end of the year going, oh my God, I'm different. And then you come to these classes and maybe we can just say it a few times. But you are different. You are changed.
That was my problem. I experienced it, but never occurred to me that I would be there all the time. It was like, it was an experience, but it wasn't me. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Sure it does. I just want you to own that.
My ego got a hold of me my ego got a hold of me almost instantly.
Okay, we get glimpses, by the way, like this. You know, all through your life you've had them, little moments of freedom, and now that you're on a spiritual path, you again, various moments sometimes you just in your own walking down the street, you know, or doing your Course in Miracles less, like I say, makes you more accident prone to have a little accident of freedom. And everybody, hopefully you've had these here and there. And so these are invitations for you to just remember that and then go take 1 or 2 minutes, go sit still and let that expand in your mind to something big enough for you to jump through. Because the ego in the world will close up and suddenly you'll be busy or tired or hungry or who knows what. So when you get open enough, really, I mean it, go sit somewhere. Go sit right then and take advantage of that light. And just let it soak in your mind a bit. It only takes a few instants and it will double, triple, 100-fold. And then you'll discover that it does not go away. This is what happened to me. It's just somehow I took the step through. And that light has stayed with me. Jason, you have something to say?
Oh, yeah. I was walking on my street the other evening and this gentleman was coming out of his apartment and getting some of his provisions from the back of his trunk. And I walked by and jest and said, It never ends, does it? And he goes, no. And then it hit me. I'm not a body. I never end.
It
was a freak kind of experience. It was wonderful. It was like, and I just started chuckling. I just thought, that's right. It doesn't end. Why did I think there's an ending somewhere?
It
was lovely.
Your eternal nature was close enough for you to sense, and you got it.
Yeah, it was cute.
Next time that happens, I want you to go sit down as soon as you can and breathe that in for a few seconds and just play with it. Barbara.
Well, I'm on lesson 109, and I am changed. I don't think that I have attained anything in particular, but I have, I'm in the lessons where you are to sit for 5 minutes an hour, and I have the timer, which assists me in doing that. And I've been pretty good at that, unless other things take over, but I've been practicing it enough that I feel good about the effort that I'm putting in. And that's what's important to me, not that I do something perfectly.
If you can take one step throughout the whole day, it's worth it.
And I do, I can inhabit, I understand that the holy instant is really something big, and that you can inhabit it in a transitory way. You know, that as you do the lessons to, you know, not to perfection or to the letter, but that your intention is, you know, you're fully inhabiting the intention of the lesson, that I can inhabit a transitory holy instant. And that is very different than most of my day when I'm either concerned about the past or worried about the future, which is really heavily going on. The divorce is ramping up.
Yep.
But as I make space in my day for reading the text, but in particular, practicing the lessons, I have that holy instant, which is much bigger than it sounds.
Atta girl. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And so I bring that to my awareness of when I'm worrying about the past, or, you know, concerned about the past and worrying about the future.
Yes.
And I've been changed. My whole reason for coming to this particular repetition of reading this book and studying this course, I started for a completely different reason. And I am a completely different person after 109 lessons. And
yeah.
I'm in no hurry. You know, I will move through the rest of the lessons at the pace that I need to take. But I came very much concerned with being a body. I'd been diagnosed with something that was very disturbing, and I wanted to heal. Mm-hmm. Well, now I want to heal, but it isn't necessarily that I want to heal my body.
Atta girl. Much more important.
I want to heal, you know, I mean, part of me, you know, when you said the Holy Spirit is the healed part of your mind, I really kind of visualized that as I started with a whisper of a healed part. And as I've progressed through the lessons, that's expanding. And the ego part of my mind, which is like this and has been like this, is still pretty big and pretty demanding. But I have a whole different way of looking at it and experiencing it. So you know, I'm internalizing this process, and I don't know exactly where it's going. All I know is that it's more valuable than anything that I've experienced before.
That's it. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you for that beautiful testimony. You bet. It just keeps lightening and lightening your life. That's what I like. That's why I like the word enlightenment, because you're taking steps that lighten your sense of being, which returns you to your eternal free nature little bit by little bit.
Exactly.
You're doing it. That's how it works.
It feels good.
Thank you. Better. Thank you. Thank you, Barbara. Timothy, did you have something?
Oh, bodhisattva is a word that means being of light, like that kind of light you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice word. Do you want me to read paragraph 11 on page 450? Or
almost. Jacqueline's going to finish what she was reading, and then we'll jump right to paragraph 11.
Rock and roll.
Okay, Jacqueline. So I interrupted you because what we are talking about is the witness to your state of mind is your world. Your world, what you think it is your witness to your state of mind. When your mind is healed, the same world becomes a witness to your healed mind. And you can chuckle a little bit. Please continue.
As a man thinketh, so does he perceive. Therefore, seek not to change the world, but choose to change your mind about the world. Perception is a result and not a cause, and that is why order, difficulty, and miracles is meaningless. Everything looked upon vision is healed and holy. Nothing perceived without it means anything. And where there is no meaning, there is chaos.
Quick little reminder of what we are doing. What does it mean to have a healed mind? What does it mean to have the sick, sleeping mind?
Where were you reading, Jacqueline? Where, what?
She was on page 445, paragraph 1, introduction.
Okay.
When you get there, I think you'll see some highlights there.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is wonderful. Something to return to from time to time. Okay, Timothy, please give us page 450, paragraph 11.
Coming at you. It is as needful that you recognize you made the world you see as that you recognize that you did not create yourself. They are the same mistake. Nothing created not by your creator has any influence over you. And if you think that which you have made can tell you what to see and feel and place your faith in its ability to do so, you're denying your creator and believing that you made yourself. Big sin. If you think the world you made has power to make you what it wills, you're confusing son and father. You're confusing effect and source, capital S.
Yo, completely closing your vision. You do have the power to do that if you so wish to play in fantasy that you're separate. You can't make it true. Tim.
You can at some place in your head want to be in prison, appear to be in prison. And so you step into the jail cell, you close the door, you have the key because there's nobody else, so you lock the door, and then you take the key and you hide it somewhere where you can't remember where you stuck it, and then you can play victim and say, I am trapped and have no way out. That's a metaphor that I don't know that the course ever uses, but... It seems to fit that idea, at least.
Yeah, I've had a couple of times reading the book where I just thought it was trying to say that, and the vision that I had was that I was standing in a body as Andrew, like this, with my prison cell, you know, my time and space and my body and all the things that I had to win and gain. And it's just these bars, right?
Right.
And then if I was just to back away, I would see that I was holding only the gate. There's no cell at all. It's just the gate. And because I was so close to it for so long, I'm like, just let it go. Nothing falls down. I wasn't even in prison.
Love it.
I stopped being in prison one time, and it was my choice to stay there. And some guy came in. It was my cell was the only one that had anybody in it. Me.
Can you raise your voice, please?
Brought it. Came in. Take with this man who was struggling to get free. And I thought to myself during the dream, it was a dream, I thought, why is he struggling? Everything we need is in this prison we've got, we're in.
Luann, can you raise the volume on your microphone at all?
No, we can't hear you very well.
Can't hear you at all.
Yeah, maybe your phone is sitting on a pillow or something. You're very muted. Okay, we can hear you, but we'd have to be very quiet. Now it's worse. So
can't hear.
So make sure your phone's...
Wait a minute, let me think.
Yeah. Okay, while you're thinking, everybody turn to page 321 and look at paragraph 4 on 321.
You got it.
Make sure there's nothing covering your microphone, Luann. And then Deborah, when you get there... Would you read for us paragraph 4? Let's talk about the nature of God's gift.
Think but an instant on this. God gave the sonship to you to ensure your perfect creation. This was his gift. For as he withheld himself, not from you, he withheld not his creation. Nothing that ever was created but is yours. Your relationships are with the universe. And this universe, being of God, is far beyond the petty sum of all the separate bodies you perceive. For all its parts are joined in God through Christ, where they become like to their Father. Christ knows of no separation from his Father, who is his one relationship. I'm going to read that again. Christ knows of no separation from his Father, who is his one relationship, in which he gives as his Father gives to him.
Beautiful little circle right there. It's indicating an action word. Did you know that the word give and gives is one of the top 5 words in the entire book? Of 500,000 words, the word give.
Yeah.
And that's because it talks so much in so many ways about this circle. As you give, you receive. So this sentence here, Christ knows of no separation from the capital letters, his Father, who is his one relationship, in which he, Christ, gives as his Father gives to him, completing the circle made in his own creation. It's just a hint of what you actually are. It's a hint. It's also a verb. You are a verb. God is the noun. You are the noun in action. This is what you actually are. Very, very personal, very alive. But more on that later. So thank you for that. Now, let's take a look. I don't have the page memorized. It's way in your workbook now, the very last 20 pages of your workbook. I think 479 in the workbook. 479. I want you to read this as your teacher is telling you what he knows about himself. Read this as though this is Jesus, which Jesus represents the part of your mind that is awoken, knows the dream fully, lived as a body, and yet has awoken. So read this, let's read this 479, and keep in mind this is like Jesus having a chat with you, saying, hey, guess what, this is who I am. So you don't have to try to have your, it's not for your ego to assume that this is what your true identity of your ego. No, this is of your healed mind, your healed mind. So Barbara, I got your mute. Read for us 479, paragraph 1.
Okay, what am I? I am God's son, complete and healed and whole, shining in the reflection of his love. In me is his creation, sanctified and guaranteed eternal life. In me is love perfected, fear impossible, and joy established without opposite. I am the holy home of God himself. I am the heaven where his love resides. I am his holy sinlessness itself, for in my purity abides his own.
That, folks, is your job description as a healed mind. Certainly not what your ego could possibly contain. And Jason, you in for reading? I got your mute. Give us paragraph 2.
The use for words is almost over now. Yet in the final days of this 1 year, we give to God together, you and I, we found a single purpose that we share. And thus you joined with me. So what I am, you are as well. The truth of what we are is not for words to speak of nor describe. Yet we can realize our function here, and words can speak of this and teach it too, if we exemplify the words in us.
And Judy, you up for reading? Are you there?
Yeah.
Great. I got your mute. Give us paragraph 3.
Okay. We are the bringers of salvation. We accept our part as saviors of the world, which through our joint forgiveness is redeemed. And this, our gift, is therefore given us. We look on everyone as brother and perceive all things as kindly and as good. We do not seek a function that is past the gate of heaven. Knowledge will return when we have done our part. We are concerned only with giving welcome to the truth.
Do you see how personal this is? These are beautiful words. This is a wonderful promise. This is a job description for sure for your awakened mind, for your return back to being the Christ. But look how personal it is. He says you have to do your part. Of course you do, because there's no power in heaven and earth that's strong enough to make you do it and force you to do it. Because of what you actually are. This is something you must freely choose. And when you do, it'll be a creative moment. That's how personal this is.
Good to know that. When I was reading it along with Moat, it felt good to know that I am as Jesus.
Okay, Luann locked up there. Sound like a beautiful... beautiful realization there. We'll see when she comes back. Timothy, I got your mute. Would you give us paragraph 4?
Ours are the eyes through which Christ's vision sees the world redeemed from every thought of sin. Ours are the ears that hear the voice for God proclaim the world is sinless.
Do you hear all? Look at this. This is verb, man. This is you actually doing and being the light of the world in the world. This is the heal. This is how the healing actually takes place. Please continue.
Ours, the minds that join together as we bless the world. And from the oneness that we have attained, we call to all our brothers, asking them to share our peace and consummate joy. Cause and effect. You want to be happy? Make other people happy first.
Yeah. Yeah. It's contagious, and people will want to be happy, will want to be honest when you're honest. They'll want to be playful when you're playful. Even if they can't afford it because they got so much pain, they're going to want to, and you'll feel it. You'll see it.
Can I just mention that when I got to lesson 100, which is my part is essential to God's plan for salvation.
Yeah.
That word essential just penetrated me. It made me feel like I really need to do this because I'm essential, you know, yeah. This whole plan.
Yep.
You know, I need to step up because I'm essential.
Yeah.
All of us are essential as one, right? Yeah. But it's just a beautiful place to reside.
And God's plan will not be complete and will not be enacted until you choose.
Right. So that's the verb part.
Yep.
You know, it's
yep.
like, do it.
Yep.
And the other thing is just doing it is, you know, one of the things that I tried to go deep into the different words that we take for granted that we understand. Like truth and yes. thought
nice.
and things like that.
Good.
So whenever I am doing a lesson and happiness, even things like happiness.
Good, Barbara.
That it's essential that I gain awareness of every thought that every thought is a choice, and that's what I can give. You know, that's what I can give is my corrected thought process.
Corrected is the key word. You must watch your thoughts with vigilance from now on. It says one lesson, it says, each thought is a choice between a grievance or a miracle.
Yeah.
There's
and
the menu.
My part is essential to
your
do
part.
That.
Essential.
Yeah. Like we're essential workers, you know, that's become so important in the COVID process. You know, that word essential.
Yeah. You worker. Are the mind of God. And no, if you don't decide to be free, then you are deciding to try to make bondage.
Right. Exactly.
And you will just fail.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's a lot of work.
You know, it definitely is a lot of work because you're so addicted and,
yeah.
you know, and you set yourself up to fail.
Yeah.
However, it is, Barbara, wonderfully simple.
I think that's right. I mean, and there's joy in that. I mean, it's not like I'm beating myself up because I can only inhabit that holy instant briefly. You know, it's just I did inhabit it briefly. And so, you know, it just feels like moving in the right direction to understand how important thought is.
Hello, that sounds like somebody's actually paying attention here. Tim, what do you got?
There, in paragraph 5 on 479, it says, we are the holy messengers of God who speak for him, which is what you were just saying, right? And I want feedback on this concept I've had for a long time that the function
read us a paragraph. Read us the whole paragraph.
Of 5? Okay.
Yep.
We are the holy messengers of God who speak for him and carry his word to everyone whom he has sent to us. We learn that it is written in our hearts. And thus our minds are changed about the aim for which we came and which we seek to serve. We bring glad tidings to the Son of God who thought he suffered. Now he's redeemed. And as he sees the gate of heaven stand open before him, he will enter in and disappear into the heart of God. So the concept is that this body that seems to be inhabiting this nightmare / dream / whatever it is, it's empty from its own side, that this body is here for communicating to other bodies. You got to go to where people are before you can teach them. If I go somewhere where they're not, I can spout the most beautiful concepts about, what we really are. It doesn't do anybody else any good.
Right? Well, so I think it's only easier.
We are where people are. It's every people.
Wait a minute. You see, you would only need to go in front of another body if you still really believe there is an other body, which most of us do. So it's helpful to be challenged and see through the otherness. But at some point in your samadhi, you'll go, whoa, I can do the healing right now. I can do the healing with my understanding of what's really going on here.
Who's healing?
Your healing of your mind, your precious aspect of mind.
I appear to be suffering. There have been beings that appear to have given a message of how to escape from suffering, including Jesus to Helen. Okay, so I asked earlier, how do I even know there's a better way if I'm so enmeshed in my own suffering, if not for the fact that from time to time, there's a Course in Miracles makes an appearance.
Yeah.
Can I ask something?
Sure.
You just said something about you have to go where people are.
I said a teacher has to go where the students are. Got to speak the language, got to be in the place, has to be something that they will recognize and give a chance of taking in the information that you're about to share. If you look like you've got 5 horns and you're from the planet Venus, then nobody's going to listen to you. Course in Miracles.
Okay, but the way I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that I thought what the Course said somewhere, I have no idea where, that every interaction that you have is important, no matter how brief, and that you don't have an intention of going out to teach something. You inhabit an awareness, or you inhabit the understanding that it's all important.
Okay, let me cut to the quick on this.
Okay, thank you.
What you're talking about is that every interaction is both a teaching and a learning experience.
Right, thank you.
While you're in a body, and it's covered in the psychotherapy pamphlet, and I think also in chapter 21, and it is that each time that you think and then speak, it seems like you would be teaching someone else, but you're actually doing a teaching learning. You're learning what you're saying. If they happen to agree, so much the more. And when 2 agree, there is an increment in validity. It can be very helpful to have another body that you can work with to walk this path and cross the bridge, cross the gap, do the impossible journey from darkness to light. Indeed. That's a level of being. Okay. But then as your mind heals and the atonement starts to occur, you will recognize more and more that this whole idea of other body is indeed a dream of separation.
Won't the Holy Spirit direct the people who you need to be communicating to into your life for you? I mean, I know what she's talking about, the little kid, you know, bumping into your leg, yep, and you don't holler at him.
Yep.
And so he gets a quick lesson. Not yep. every big person is a bad person. You know?
Yep, you bet. There are parts of your mind that we would call angels, and all they want is your healing as fast as you're actually willing to heal. And when you're not actually willing to heal, then just they'll just wait until you are, because they are of an eternal nature, and it's no problem.
And you're just looking back at all of it anyway, right? It's all done. You're right. Reviewing it film.
Right. Oh, turn to text page 141. Let's see if we can grab a few more of these in the next last 15 minutes we have. We'll grab a few more places. I have a bunch of places to talk about what you actually are.
141?
141 in the text. And let's have Deborah read for us page 141, paragraph 7.
I'm almost there.
I see some other people page flipping too.
I've got branching of the road, red pill versus blue pill on my handwriting. Oh.
Yeah.
I must have just watched a certain movie.
So paragraph 7 on page 141.
In the lessons?
In the text.
Oh my God. So it starts when I said?
Correct.
Okay. When I said, all power and glory are yours because the kingdom is his, this is what I meant. The will of God is without limit, and all power and glory lie within it. It is boundless in strength and in love and in peace. It has no boundaries because its extension is unlimited. And it encompasses all things because it created all things. By creating all things, it made them part of itself. You are the will of God because that is how you were created.
Wow, read that one again for emphasis.
You are the will of God because that is how you were created. Because your creator creates only like himself, you are like him. You are part of him who is all power and glory and are therefore as unlimited as he is.
Those are just the facts. They should give you a great, deep sense of rest of what you actually are. You are the will of God. And recently, we don't have time to go look at it again, but you remember we just read that it's important to you to recognize that God was your creator, as it is for you to recognize that you made this world. You see how that conversation is really critical now. You made this substitute of what you actually are. You actually are the will of God. And you've decided to use this power to make a substitute reality. There's a whole section in the text called the substitute reality. Yeah. Let's grab another one. Each one is so powerful. Text 70, front of the book, in the text. Not much book there. Look at text page 70, paragraph 5. And let's have Judy, I got your mute, read for us paragraph 5.
I'm still searching. Ask somebody else.
Okay, page 70. Luann, are you there? I hope you're Your microphone's working. I got your mute. Go ahead. Just try it.
Paragraph 5.
Oh, sounds good. You did it. Yeah, paragraph 5.
God, who encompasses all beings, created beings who have everything individually, but who want to share it to increase their joy.
Okay, now I would like everybody to stare at that sentence while she reads it again, slowly. This is a very powerful description of what you do as an extension of God. It's amazing. It's right here in black and white. Go ahead.
God, who encompasses all being, created beings who have everything individually, but who want to share it to increase their joy.
That's what you're doing. And anyway, go ahead. Please continue.
Nothing real can be increased except by sharing. That is why God created you. Divine abstraction takes joy in sharing.
Okay, now this is wonderful. Huge insight to what's really going on. Here it is. The metaphysics of you as an extension of God. Why, what, how? It's all right here. Please continue.
That is what creation means. How, what, and to whom are irrelevant, because real creation gives everything, since it can create only like itself. Well, so if it's real, then it has to be everything about it is created. Because that in the kingdom, there is no difference between having and being, as there is an existence. In the state of being, the mind gives everything always.
Okay, that's a wonderful metaphysical paragraph. It's very high teaching. We could spend all night on it. I wanted you to see it, that way up front, when Helen was, you know, the information was coming so fast, Helen was just grabbing what she could. And you can tell there's a lot more discussion in that paragraph. But by God, if you're ever looking for a quick little discussion on what's really going on, here it is. Let's do it. I mean, these are injections. See, right? These are like mainlining Course in Miracles metaphysics about what you really are. Let's do some more. Go to text page 390. It's so tempting just to stay on that one paragraph, but let's just zip around a little bit, take a little vacation through the beautiful paragraphs of A Course in Miracles. Page 390 in the text. And in interest of time, I'm just going to have you jump down to sentence 5. Can you, who see yourself within a body, know yourself as an idea? ? Full stop. Major question. Time for a meditation.
I thought you said page 390 in the text.
Page 390 in the text. Paragraph 1. Sentence 5.
Okay.
Sentence 5 says, can you who see yourself within a body know yourself as an idea? Jesus is asking for you to call for the miracle with this one sentence. Wow. Are you telling me, Jesus? Are you telling me healed part of my mind? Are you telling me, older brother, who's walked the walk that I'm walking, that I'm an idea? Yes. I don't know if you can take it without fear. That's why I buried it on page 390. Instead of putting it on the cover of the book. I didn't think you could handle it if I put it, of course, in how you are and only an idea. I didn't think you could take it. So I buried it here for you to discover.
I love it because it means, it means this is not real. It's just
that's right. Idea. You're not held to this. That's correct.
It's so freeing.
It's so freeing. Barbara.
Can I just read sentence two and three? Because in my book, I have it underlined in pencil and then highlighted in yellow marker and then
it sounds like it's important.
In but, pink pen.
Oh.
With whoa at the in the border. And it says, for the body is a limit on love. The belief in limited love was its origin, and it was made to limit the unlimited. That just blew my mind.
Yep.
You know, as you begin to understand that you really aren't a body.
You see, and you know how the ego is trying to love all its life? You know, starting when you were a teenager, you thought, oh, I want love. I want love. I'm made for love. I'm a lover. I'm a lover. I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover. I want more love. And now you recognize that that was all a trap your whole life.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. And I'll tell you, this is where you're going to find the freedom you've always been looking for.
And then the love boat in the 70s.
The love boat. Amazing. And yeah. Sing us a few bars, Jason.
I never saw it.
Why? Oh, I think you'd enjoy that show. Oh, okay. Text page 519. Text page 519. Paragraph 4, which is interesting that it's on that page. Yeah, that's interesting. I like to, yeah, do not read ahead to paragraph 5. It's not what we're here to see, because that's probably highlighted in your book if you've ever been to one of my classes. Let's read paragraph 4 instead. Okay, so I think we're ready. It's page 519, paragraph 4. And then we're back up to Jacqueline. I got your mute, Jacqueline.
Okay. You are the means for God, not separate nor with a life apart from His. His life is manifest in you, who are His Son.
Hello. I've been telling you about, I've been trying to explain what you, your mission is, what your function is, that you actually are the verb and God is the noun. God does not live without you. God does not smile without you're made to be God's joy. He has His happiness. So that's not a bad job description. Please continue.
Each aspect of Himself is framed in holiness and perfect purity, in love celestial, and so complete it wishes only that it may release all that it looks upon unto itself. Its radiance shines through each body that it looks upon and brushes all its darkness into light merely by looking past it to the light.
How, Jacqueline? How does A Course in Miracles say that this happens? Read that sentence again so we can just have the answer.
The its veil radiance.
How is the veil lifted?
Gently, the veil is lifted through gentleness. Merely, well, I'm not sure what you want me to read.
Well, you're right. I want you to go back a sentence to four, don't I? Yeah.
Okay. Its radiance shines through each body that it looks upon and brushes all its darkness into light merely by looking past it to the light.
Merely by looking past it to the light. That's kind of a dedication. It's a devotion. It's a discipline of mind. You become the light of the world. God is the love in which I forgive, because I'd like to forgive the whole thing. And you will use God to do that. Beautiful. Please continue.
The veil is lifted through its gentleness, and nothing hides the face of Christ from its beholders. You and your brother stand before him now to let him draw aside the veil that seems to keep you separate and apart.
Beautiful. Okay, I think you've got a flavor of some of the wonderful promises of your true identity and your awakened mind will bring. So let's spend these last couple minutes together. Again, sitting, I would like you to call in to your mind. We're going to sit quietly just for a couple of minutes. And I'd like you again to touch your eternal nature. Now that you've heard A Course in Miracles say in some really beautiful words again and again and again, that you are this beautiful extension of God, not what you have kind of made of yourself. So take a breath, loosen up from what you see yourself as. Go inward and let go just for a moment of everything you know, everything you feel, everything you think is true or false. And allow yourself to drift into your eternal nature. You feel it? Your eternal nature that's pretending to look through your body's eyes from time to time? Slip into your eternal nature. It is your true existence. It empowers your true sense of freedom. Your eternal nature. And now, let's take one more step back, away from your body identification. And feel yourself suddenly expand into your eternal nature without limit. So abundant that all you want to do is share the joy and happiness that you get to share, because that's your function. Eternally. Your beautiful eternal nature fully lightened, fully free, fully as God created you. And now put your hands together in your mind like you're jumping off a diving board, and with a big smile on your face, jump back into your body, carrying this lightness of being with you, because you really are just to share love. You're here to free yourself from the belief that this body ever was a way to lose something valuable. Be this, teach this, with all your busy doings, going through your days, bring this light and this eternal nature with you, and shine, shine, shine. Thank you, thank you. Amen. Thank you for studying A Course in Miracles with me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you next week.